Hello everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of the internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast, the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. Is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. This week we bring to you the second in our four-part series of the panels we managed to get at Nerd Squat / Main Street Comic-Con up in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. This panel is titled Prop Theory and Discussion. The host of this panel was Donnie Drum. Now, this panel initially was about 25 minutes long, so here's the disclaimers that we typically put in front of every panel episode that we do. This is Donnie's panel, his presentation, so everything that is said belongs to him. We are just presenting this panel to all of you as part of what has happened at this convention so many weeks ago. I think it was about, this would be roughly the third week or so. So it is his panel, it's his content, and we are pretty much were allowed to record it and release it to you as part of our content. So that's that aspect of things, and we once again thank Donnie for letting us record. So as per the panel itself, this panel is about 25 minutes long, give or take. And we did some, we here at the show did some editing to it. What we did editing-wise is because there were several periods where Donnie was writing on a whiteboard, or he was waiting kind of a bit to see if there were any questions. And what we did here at the show was we kind of took out the dead air. So all in all, we took about 2.5 minutes out of this presentation due to that. So all in all, it's maybe about a 23.5 minute panel. Because in this particular panel, the questions were more distinct in everything, so we were able to boost them. There's going to be some instances where it sounds like we added Donnie saying words. We didn't. We just boosted around him. So it's just going to sound a little funky, so please bear with it. We want you to hear what was being asked of Donnie, but there are still instances where in the questions coming to Donnie, due to the conditions of where the panel is being held, you could still hear what is being asked, but you could hear activity around the question. Meaning, where the panels were held were in a kind of an offshoot of a restaurant. And they didn't, this was their first show, they didn't really close the door to help muffle things. And what happened was, due to that, you heard the crowd wandering in and out of the restaurant. I won't say the crowd, but customers wandering in and out of the restaurant and everything else. And the reason why I say this was a restaurant, because this was an outdoor convention. So, again, you hear customers coming in, peeking in, conversations being held in the hallway, conversations being held in the restaurant, main part of the restaurant itself. So you tend to hear all that. So not to mention where the panel is held, it wasn't really insulated from outside noise as well, which means you might hear car traffic, truck traffic, people walking by, because there was this big bay window. And you'll probably hear more of that in our next panel, coming up next week, in regards to cosplaying and being that character. So again, we thank Donnie for allowing us to record this panel, and everything. Like I said, he did a great job doing this. This was his first panel ever, so please bear with him with his ums and ahs, and his a little bit. There might be a little bit nervousness coming across this, but he did have a lot of confidence. So again, this is his panel. Here it is. So take it away, Donnie.
I'd like to thank you all for coming. However, I do have one little question for you as a bit of trivia. Does anyone know the definition or where the word prop originated from? If that is a no, let's just discuss this here. Prop came from the term theatrical property. And I love how dry this board is. Like I said, I'll give this time to dry. But definition of prop is anything an actor on stage or screen interacts or uses to separate from wardrobe, set, and the actors themselves. Now, that being said, props are not limited to weapons. As a matter of fact, could I have you step forward, please? Yes, please. What's your name?
My name's Izzy.
All right, Izzy, tell us about what you got here.
This is a bird I made. It's still a little bit work in progress, but it's fully posable.
Really well done, Izzy. Well, all the same, this is also a definition book prop, so thank you for coming up here.
Thanks.
Well, I have had my bearings in prop making, fabrication, however you want to deter it. As many props as there are, there's 5 different ways at least to make it. Yes, I do fabrication from raw material, but there are such things as casting, printing. The newest thing is we got here, whether we're talking filament or actual resin, which is possibly the newest of the features. So, while I'm out of here, does anyone have any questions before we get into specifics here? Like any form of artwork, props, by nature, are only as good as your reference. It helps to have real-world features of anything you're trying to make. This includes, obviously, birds or the weapons, or even something as a blinking light that's attached to a bow tie, of all things. So, speaking of references, one of the biggest things that I've been doing for the past 8 or so years have been knives. There's multiple knives and multiple ways to make them. So that being said, I got 2 distinct pieces here made out of ABS and polystyrene. Each one of these has their real world terms used to build them. So as you see, you have your basic shape, blade, and also what is called a tang. A tang can either be full, or it is made by the slab on either side and adhered or bolted or otherwise riveted on. And then you have your more technical pieces that I've worked on. This is called an inlay kind of tang. Now that you have the slabs which are adhered in some way, shape, or form, whether by mechanical or glued, we also have to worry about this thin piece right here. Aside from your slabs, each one is dependent on the adherence of both the middle slab itself as well as the tang therein. Now there, like I said, there's multiple ways, and that is not only the one way or multiple ways you can make knives or anything of the nature. Like I said, most people, you can do anything from silicone molds of real world blades, cast them up in a production or convention safe material. While I'm at it here, anybody have any questions about what we discussed so far? Anybody have any props or anything that they've made at their own time that they want to discuss themselves here that we can talk about? How about you come up here, my friend?
Yeah, come here.
Well, what's your name for starters?
Oh, yeah. William Smith.
All right, William.
So this first one I got from a Halloween store, but I modified it by adding some wires and heavily weathering it. And we just want to take just some normal paint, black and brown, water it down, and then just paint it on.
So have you done anything besides the weathering and paint? Have you done, are all the wires from the store piece or?
These I actually got from a phone cable.
Nice.
Guys, my sister helped me strip them out, and then after a while of them just sitting around, I glued them on.
Very well done, William. Here.
Thank you.
At the same time here, there's different types of props. This is, in its lowest classification, called a kitbash. Granted, kitbashing is usually whenever you take an existing property and make it into something completely different. The best examples of these are the most of the armor, guess you could say, and the guns used in the original Star Wars films. The best example of those that I can say at the top of my head is the German Mauser from World War II that was used to create Han Solo's DL-44. Thank you very much, William. You can sit down if you'd wish. It's late for this gentleman to get back to his seat here. While we're at it here, I want to discuss something in relation to foam fabrication. Granted, yes, EVA foam is a relatively new piece, but you've had everything used from insulation foam to even using poly furniture foam or whatever you want to call it. Whether that's to create something squishy with the consistency of a Nerf ball, muscle suits, or what have you. Might as well discuss something with EVA foam here. Let me bring up some more examples here. Aside from the damage of everything, there's a pretty less than decent example here. Yes, you have a decent sized blade, but at the same time, has a little bit of a bend to it that not only can cause wrinkling and damage over time, as you can see within that mounting point, but as you can see, such issues can exacerbate the life of your prop. One of the decent ways to avoid that is something started with this pickaxe. When it comes to something to where the foam can no longer support itself, you need some type of armature within it. Sometimes the handle itself can work, other times you need something to extend it to your extra extremities, if you want to call it that. Sometimes people use everything from freaking steel rods to everything from, I've even seen a man on YouTube called Odin Albert of Odin Makes used golf clubs. What I've decided to use here just so it can work with the actual wooden handle is a wooden dial which extends from 3/4 of the way either side at least. And now that you have this, which keeps the blades nice and sturdy here, except for the hot glue of course, we also have what is back here with your inlay knife to create dimension and to extend the spikes more. Anybody got any questions as far as that's concerned?
All right. Honestly, I was thinking we would have more people to talk more specifics, so. All right.
Are you making props for conventions?
Yes. Honestly, the best rules to follow are the convention property guidelines. So obviously you have your firearms, which cannot fire anything. And that's not just, you know, don't bring a real gun. That also extends to BB guns, even airsoft pellets. Honestly, the best example is what William talked about here, is kit bashing. Take your toy guns, you know, you can paint them up. Sometimes you need your orange tips, as per convention guidelines, or even make the barrel solid as long as weapons check or security can monitor how fake they are, in spite of their paint job and handling. As a matter of fact, one person bought an assault rifle made from a toy gun yesterday, and they actually expressed concern because of the lack of orange tip. However, if you ever pull back the hammer, there's a little note, granted a not exactly tame note, but it expressed how fake it was. You saw the original paint underneath it. So if this person was ever caught or if they were ever stopped by law enforcement, security, or anything of that nature, they can show the original paint and hope that the person doesn't read the note to intent.
All right.
what would you make instead as an axe handle?
Well, sometimes axe handles can be made of the same foam that the original head is made from. And sometimes you can even find something as simple as a toy kit bash, which has similar pieces made from that. And back to what I was saying about how some pieces can be molded and cast. Some people have actually molded a real world axe. Most commonly I've found sledgehammers. They've actually molded from the bottom of the handle all the way to the head, creating mold that's roughly about a yard long by, I want to say, a foot wide. So, it's all, like I said, it's all a matter of convention guidelines, prop rules, anything of that nature. Anybody in the front got any questions? All right. Obviously, we still got some time to go, so has anyone had any experience in this room with 3D printing or anything of that nature?
Yes.
William, why don't you come back up here? We can discuss what we've been talking about.
So, in here I have...
Open it up, William. Let's show the people. Right in front of the board here.
So, only part of this was 3D. I had created another pit toy. My father had 3D printed me a parallel fusion
floor. Alright, let me bring this up to the camera here. As you can see with some of these lines here, this is a good example of what's called a filament print. You can take anything from wood putty, spot filler for automotive, and there's multitudes of different resin to seal these lines. Also helps to go over with a filler primer to cover it up and to give it a more metallic or whatever the base material of what the prop is supposed to look like out of. Thank you again, William. So as I was saying, there's also something called a resin print. And this is, I believe, the newest form of printing, which is probably best used for more of a prototype type of finish, because most prints that are resin aren't exactly the most durable, unfortunately. If anything, from my experience of using these, I would recommend printing and immediately molding these before using these in a real world situation, whether it be a production or convention. All right, another question I see.
If you were to 3D print something and have brown or fill in it, and your 3D print were to break, would you have exhibitions on glue or just something that you can use to repair your 3D print?
Honestly, this is a good question. When it comes to most 3D printers, especially filament prints, you're better off when it comes to something, the best example being a helmet. Most printers cannot handle something the size of a human head. So often you gotta print these things in different sections and key them. From these key points and whatnot, best thing I've seen used, some people have used everything from even fiberglass resin to 5-minute epoxy to E6000. Glue the seam, glue your keys, put it together, tape said seam together, wait for your resin to dry, and fill in those lines with your appropriate resins, or as I was saying, wood filler, auto body, spot putty, and just finish that like you would your print lines. Yes, sir.
What materials would you tell people to be most careful
with,
not
avoiding when they're impossible? Alright. Some of the biggest things, and especially when we're talking conventions, I would say do not use metal, because not only will some conventions absolutely forbid it, you cannot even use these or even work with these by hand. Usually these require some form of high-end power tool, and ultimately these take a lot longer to put together and in the long run aren't really worth it. However, when it comes to certain resins, a lot of these have a high level of toxicity, even so far to them being cancerous. I am not saying to avoid these materials altogether, but I will tell you to wear your appropriate respirator, your breathing treatments, work in a well-ventilated area, especially outside if that's a possibility, and follow your warning labels and your safety guidelines on the products that are labeled.
And as I was saying here, most conventions do not allow wooden props. As a matter of fact, when it comes to axes, or in this case, a pickaxe, most people can actually say this is a, could actually use this as a weapon. Take your solid doors here. If this could create an echo that could echo throughout the room of conventions I've argued, imagine what this handle used improperly could do to somebody else. So, whether you decide to mold these handles, granite, make it out of the same foam as this, as long as you armature it, it's all a matter of what you're comfortable with, what your skill set is, and most importantly, have fun with it. Yes. As I was discussing before, usually when it comes to a blade or something to where the foam can no longer support itself, you get these nasty bends, you get the creases in here from the bending and movement, which can not only make your prop not as viable, but it also decreases your lifetime of said prop dramatically. To go over again, in order to avoid this, you need a sort of fixture on the inside here. Such fixtures can be covered whether it's from a material you're casting with or what you're fabricating with. These will be covered by the same type of foam that is around here in inlay, as you will, as I was discussing with my knives. And such armatures can be used as, like I say, resin dowels, like golf clubs. You have your wooden dowels, which can actually bond well to the handle piece. I've seen people use everything from bending wire, even threaded piping. As long as it's comfortable, as long as it's within your skill set, I highly encourage it. Speaking of the question referred to earlier, when it comes to hazardous or even dangerous materials, you will need gluing when it comes to anything revolving 3D printing or foam fabrication. When it comes to said adhesives, those have the same warning labels and directions as with your resins. I would encourage you to read these labels before using them. Make sure you're in a ventilated area as per needed. And make sure that these are not, make sure that you're safe and that these are used properly within your time. Gloves are your best friend. I would recommend using a respirator when it comes to some of these. Other times, sometimes if it's not as toxic as your resins, sometimes working outside and having your hands covered is the best thing. Anybody who's ever dealt with super glue in any way, shape, or form has had the issue of you having your fingers stuck together and either praying and pulling apart or having to take acetone and with a Q-tip and just working its way in a violin shape. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of people in this room.
So, how do you come up with an idea for a new prop? Do you have a blueprint first or sketch?
Sometimes a sketch works. Sometimes that can be derived from the reference material as shown with the knives. And oftentimes it helps to have the real world item in your possession. So I was able to work with the knives, like I was saying, the pickaxe here. As a matter of fact, the best way that I can share this example is the color on the pickaxe. Whenever I do add these slabs on, some of these have on the side of your pickaxe, sometimes they're flush with no real weld marks or anything to that effect. Other times, you get these nasty welded beads here. Some of that can be done with caulking. I've seen it done with hot glue, and I've even seen it done with foam plate, which is a relatively new thing people have been using.
And how long is it going to take you to make a prop?
That honestly depends on your skill set. This depends on the products you're using. There's a lot of variables. Honestly, just depends on what you have on hand and how you use it. Sometimes you can screw it up and it'll take a lot longer than everything else here. Anybody ask any questions? Yeah.
Do you do armor as well?
Armor, I've done before, but that is another beast within itself. Especially when you talk about what it's adhered to, whether it be a clothing that you gotta and put it on, whether you're talking riveting or Velcro or even strapping. And strapping in of itself is another beast, probably worth a seminar in of itself.
I've seen some people when walking around like all this, they walk around for like an hour and take off and I can't
talk down. Well, all depends on, like I said, you're talking about clothing mounted on. Some people have their fake chain mail to where they actually take bolts and put it on and strapping. And it all depends on what you have on underneath. As you've seen outside, there's somebody dressed in a Jason outfit. And this person was wearing literal overalls underneath that. And even though the face was cut out underneath the hood and they could breathe through that, that is still a very heavy material. Often, if you're trying to experiment with armor, like I said, the best thing for you is experiment. See what type of fabric works, see what can be painted to be looking realistic, and make sure that you, and here's the big thing, test your own limits. Sometimes, yes, you can see some bodybuilding Julius Bronson mountain looking guy walk around with real armor, and he's more entitled to do that. However, I highly doubt that some people within this room are capable of that similar feat. Sometimes you can work with Warblood, which is lightweight. Some people work with vacuum forming plastic, which is another beast within itself. And like he was talking about foam. It all depends on what you're comfortable with, what your skill set is, and what your, and ultimately, what you can use and are comfortable with. Any other questions? All right. Got a time on here, my friend? I thank everybody for your time, and I hope you enjoyed this as much as I did.
Again, that was the panel, Prop Making and Discussion, hosted by Donnie Rome. I hope you enjoyed the panel. Again, I apologize for how weird the audio sounds, but that was the panel pretty much in its entirety due to a few editing. If you have any questions or comments or other, you can be happy to send them to us at the show. Our email is longcoatmafia@gmail.com, and our Facebook page is facebook.com/TheLongcoatMafiaPodcast. And I think I said that wrong. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/TheLongcoatMafiaPodcast. While you're there, please hit that like button. And if you don't, you could still probably leave a comment on the pinned post in regards to this panel, or shoot us a message in regards to it, and we'll be happy to get back to you. If we get a lot of emails and comments in regards to everything, we'll make our own little mailbag episode. So please do so in regards to that, and we'll be happy to forward some of the questions that you might have to Donnie himself. And when he replies, we'll get back to you via the show or through how you communicated with us. Now, since Donnie doesn't really have a dedicated Facebook page or like we do at the show, due to personal reasons, I'm not going to link his personal Facebook page, but I will link his Instagram down below in our comment section. That way, if you want to show him some love and follow him, and if you want to inquire in regards to some of his pieces, you'll be able to do so down there. Or you could contact us here at the show with our email. Again, it's longcoatmafia@gmail.com, and we'll be happy to get in contact, be the middle people in regards to getting in contact with Donnie in regards to getting some props off of him, because he does some great work. So that's in regards to that. Now, we do have some other social media other than Facebook, which again is facebook.com/TheLongcoatMafiaPodcast, where we tend to, when we're in, we do have access to the internet, we post up news stories, stuff that is happening, news in regards to new episodes being posted, videos, and the like. Plus, we do have Instagram, where there sometimes we post stuff up solely there as well. So follow us there. Our handle on Instagram is Long Coat Mafia. So again, look us up on Instagram and hit that follow button. We are on, and while you're on Instagram, you can DM us your questions, comments, and other there. We do have a Twitter handle. It is also Long Coat Mafia. And while you're there, please hit that follow button so you can see our comments and other happenings in regards to Twitter when we do post to Twitter. When we get the net back up here at the safe house, hopefully we will be able to start to post more on the Twitter forums and the Twitter sphere. And we do have, what else do we have? We do have a YouTube channel where we do tend to post up stuff that is not available on our Facebook page, but we do ask you to hit that like button on our Facebook page, as well as hit that subscribe button on our YouTube page. That way, if there is an exclusive Facebook or YouTube video, you'll be able to watch it in your convenience, whether it's on a mobile device, your computer, or console, or whatever. So, there's that. But to find us on YouTube, you have to search for the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. Do not let YouTube fill in that space for you. Please type in the Long Coat Mafia Podcast and hit that search button to bring up our channel. And while you're there, please hit that subscribe button so you'll be able to follow us when we have new videos posted up. When we do get them or do them, we will be kind of posting up our interviews we once got with like convention clips and stuff like that, like we did with Equinox Production Group. I think that's their name. Either way, it's EPG. We got an interview with them at this event, and we pretty much, for those of you that don't listen but follow us on Facebook or YouTube, what we did was we clipped it, put a few clips from the convention with it, so you were able to hear the interview and watch, you know, see a little bit of the event. So we will be doing some of that with our older clips in regards to different events and so forth and so on, all con related, so you know it's a convention interview. So stay tuned and please subscribe to both, at least our YouTube channel, because that's where they'll be going mostly. And if you like the videos and you like what you see, hit that like button. That way it tells YouTube in a way to kind of push our videos a little bit more. And us having more of a subscriber count on YouTube is beneficial to us, because once we hit a certain number of subscribers, we're able to change that bundle of letters and numbers and underscores and symbols to an actual channel name, and we want to be able to do that someday. So please do that, and so we could hit that goal. I think the number now is 1,000 subscribers, and please let's do that. I know some of you out there are listening, so let's kind of get that 29 subscribers up higher than that. So let's go, folks. Please, I'm asking you for your support on that, and it doesn't cost you a dime to do so. What else? We do have a Twitch channel. When we get back online here at the safe house, we will probably more than likely do some more streaming, and depending on which console we stream on, we'll be either streaming on YouTube or on Twitch. And hopefully, well, again, once we get back online here at the safe house, we'll let you all know what we'll be streaming on. Our Mixer channel is mixer.tv/Long Coat Mafia Pod. I believe that's what it is. The links are in the show description below. And what else? Oh, yes. Where to find our show? We are found on, if you're on a desktop, a laptop computer, we are found, depending on where you're listening to this, we are found on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Amazon Music, plus our main website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. Now, I must like to inform you guys, even though the link is down in the description, that the word "the" is part of the website. It's all one word, so the Long Coat Mafia is all one word, and the rest is simple, .podbean.com, and it takes you to our website that we have, and there you'll see a little bit of a background in regards to some of our co-hosts that we've had on the show. It's got to be updated. We have to get up off our rear ends and kind of update it a little bit in regards to regular co-hosts and so forth and so on. But it's there. You're able to listen to all our episodes going back to the beginning, over 5 years ago. We have, including this episode, over 280 episodes in the bank for you to listen to and get caught up on if you're a new listener. And you're able to either A, stream the episodes directly from our website, or B, download them and listen to them on the device of your choice, whether it's your laptop at home or on transferring them to a mobile device or what have you. You're able to do that. Speaking of mobile devices, we are available on the following platforms: Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Amazon Music, if they have an app for that. I think we're available on TuneIn and Apple Podcasts. And we are available, I'm saying it now, because apparently our issue with Google Podcasts has been fixed. We are part of Google Podcasts. I got to double check everything before everything's... when I did a search on Google Podcast for our show, we came up with our show, but it seems like it might be a few episodes behind, but still, we are available on Google Podcasts, which is a wonderful thing, so you're able to at least listen to us that way if you so choose. Also, if you want, we are available on the Podbean app, which is free. All you have to do is listen to us subscribe to us on the Podbean app, and you're able to listen to us, I think, going back to our first episodes. And if you look up our site on a mobile device, such as an Android phone or a iOS phone, it requires you to get the Podbean app, and I think sign up. It's free to do so, and it'll allow you to snag whatever episodes you want that way. So, besides, having that Podbean app is a good thing to have, just in case the software from like Spotify or Apple Podcasts decides we're gonna allow our people to subscribe to this or listen to episodes. I've known it's been done in the past with a couple of shows I've listened to. So having that Podbean app or a backup app is a good way to go in regards to making sure you get our episodes. So either way, we'd be more than happy that you are listening to us on a type of listening platform, whatever it is of your choice. What else is there to say? We do have Twitch. We do have a TikTok account. We're thinking of doing a few more videos in regards to it. We initially had one video up on our TikTok channel. Our username is down below. I think it's LCM Podcast. Either way, it's down in the description. We added three more videos to our TikTok channel. It's not as popular as our first video, but we still have a few more. But there's a couple more I plan to do after I get the bandages off my neck and be able to set up outside in regards to some of doing the videos and what needs to be done. So take care. Stay tuned for next week's episode, which is will be titled... Next week's episode will be titled Becoming Your Character, and it's going to have the group known as the Fantastical Vanity. And they were a wonderful bunch of gals, and I thank them for allowing us to record their podcast, their panel. And I think their panel was the longest panel ever. I wouldn't say ever, but they were the longest panel of the particular event, I think close to about an hour, so if not a little bit more than an hour. So stay tuned for that, subscribe to us, follow us, whatever, that way you're be able to snag our episodes and hear these wonderful people doing their wonderful presentations and everything else, because if you're not, you're really missing out on a lot of stuff, because, heck, we're going to have some more retrospective stuff. Maybe when next year rolls around, we'll use some of our vacation time and get some more great content for all of you, and hopefully be able to get more guests on for all of you to hear and follow and everything else. So take care, everyone, and I'll see all of you next week.
You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.